Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Alana, Zach, Matt, Jay, and Rob.
Post hiatus. Welcome back, everybody.
We're back from our hiatus. Anything happened while we were gone?
Well,
nothing in the news.
I don't think so.
News, what on our news?
I got married.
Yeah, that's the big news.
Yay, congrats.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good times. And we're back playing Marvel Rivals, which I was a little distracted. And we are talking about The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Last of Us Season 2. And guys, I have a question. Do you think they went out of their way to make Ellie more unlikable than last time?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, she's pretty unlikable.
She
wasn't unlikable in season one. She was fine.
She's fine. She was more like kid annoying than like, wow, she's an asshole.
Yeah.
And Catherine O'Hara is totally like enabling
her
behavior.
Good.
Oh yeah, she's totally a typical 19-year-old. She's not.
Which was Catherine O'Hara?
The therapist.
Oh, the psychotherapist.
The alcoholic therapist.
Yeah.
Like two characters said that. I was like, okay, guys, like, stop defending this performance.
Yeah, stop defending her.
Yeah. I thought you guys were to defend her for sure.
No.
What are you talking about?
She's 18. She's not like a teenager, you know?
She's 19.
Not even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
Okay, yeah. So should we just proceed through the episode then? I took notes on about everybody else. So at the beginning, we have tiny, tiny little Abby. She's so small, but she wants revenge.
Caitlin Dever, when's she gonna get jacked?
Never,
never.
They'll film the next one in like 2 years. Maybe she's got time, but I don't think it's.
I don't think so.
Wait, are you kidding me? This isn't the whole game this season?
No, it's only half.
No.
Are you serious? Actually, I thought Joel's gonna die like any minute now.
No spoilers. Right,
no spoilers. But also,
oh my God, please.
It's not. Two seasons. It's gonna be three. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's a full three seasons. It's or at least three, most likely not four.
I guess they don't want it to be Dragon Ball Z where they have to stretch out all the content.
So it's the whole season, but I'm not gonna give spoilers, but they are the second season is like, or the next season is gonna be like from Abby's perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
kind of why people didn't like the game.
Oh, because you have to play as Abby? Well, Joel?
That's why they didn't like the game?
That's why, yeah.
There's other stuff, but that's a big part of it. I actually was annoyed about it for a while, but then after a while, I really started to enjoy it.
I've watched multiple YouTube videos about why the game is controversial, and I still can't figure out why.
Why?
People love their waifu, Joel.
Is that the only reason?
A lot of it's Joel. And they don't like Ellie as much, but she's way less annoying in the game. So, like, I was comparing, like, scene to scene. I was like, no, she's less annoying in the game. Like, even though they're doing, like, all of the same lines and stuff.
Yeah, they're playing it very accurate to the game. Like, it's a very authentic experience to the game.
The show.
And, yeah.
They even had a couple parts where it felt like it was playing, like you were playing the game.
Yeah, they purposely did that, they said.
That seems like a weird excuse. Like, I don't know. Are you talking about the scene where they, like, go into a building for no reason just to, like,
Just because they're bored.
Well, I mean, what else? Yeah, wouldn't you? You're bored.
No, look, I understand why Ellie does these things because she's like, I'm on my own and I'm an asshole, whatever. But, like, she shouldn't endanger her hot friend.
Yes.
And that's why she's chief asshole.
Yeah,
she's ridiculous.
I'm going to watch that show. I'm just like, Dina, you're too good for her. What are you doing?
Yeah.
She doesn't deserve you.
It's like one of those animes where they only like the main character because she's the main character.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, Alana, where do you know Catherine Dever from?
Caitlin Dever?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. I watched that show, Apple Cider Vinegar. And
you guys watched Dear Evan Hansen together.
Yes, we watched Dear Evan Hansen.
Was she Dear Evan?
Yeah, she was.
She's the love interest.
She's the sister.
Oh, okay.
Wait, yeah, the sister of the dead guy.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something more original with Caitlin Dever. Like something like one of her first films I saw.
She was in the Tim Allen.
Oh, Booksmart. Yeah, I've seen Booksmart.
She was in the Tim Allen sitcom. Can't stand it.
Yeah.
She was like the best part of that show, but it was an awful show.
I feel like so far in this show, she's not as good, but like, I don't know, it's still early.
It's not entirely her fault, I don't think.
Oh, no.
Speaking of characters that Alana likes, comms officer was in Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Instagram. She was at like the red carpet and stuff.
Katie O'Brien.
So we have Tiny Abby wants revenge. And I must say that this is the one time I wish they had a recap or like flashbacks or something, because she said that Joel killed her people and it would have been great to know like which part, I guess.
Mine had a recap.
Mine didn't have a
recap. When he was rescuing Ellie. Subject, dude. What the
yeah.
heck?
That was such a weird jump.
We're talking about Caitlin Dever, and you like totally.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, I also wanted to flash back there.
Okay, first of all, the Catherine O'Hara thing, I think did not. They have not shown us that.
No, they do not. They do not. They did not show it.
Yeah,
I was wondering about that.
No, you're supposed to be left in the loop.
Okay, I thought he was just someone that Joel killed in the first season. No.
Yeah, I mean, he killed so many people.
Yeah, he really did.
Killed lots of people. He did it to be more so.
Yeah, it's very hush hush who he kills, or well, not who he kills, but when and how.
But why?
And it's meant to.
Well, I guess
be.
The why is zombies.
Yeah, the world, man. Okay, so then the next thing they're trying to convince us that Ellie is tough by having her fight a grown man and somehow win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The insufferableness starts right away. That's
They hit I assume nobody liked that. Like, they're like, oh, well, the guy did pull his punch, so it's like,
she's doing the Quan thing where she's like, she needs to scream. She feels like she can tell everybody else what to do.
Oh my god, Quan. She's gonna be on Bridgerton.
She was in, remember how she was in Dune?
Yeah.
Yeah, how does she keep getting work?
Well, it's not the actress' fault. You guys didn't like Quan.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, yep. So she's acting tough. What's next, Zach? Keep it moving.
So then we have tensions between Ellie and Joel has no idea why. And I thought that she found out about the big lie.
Uh-huh.
And that's why she was acting weird. But apparently, no. She's just being a teenager.
She's sus. She's a tough teenager.
I think they're going to explain later on why. I think
it's just because he's holding back on that big lie, and like she can in some way tell.
Well, I think she wants to save the world. She thinks they should be researching her, probably. Well, and guys, Joel wants to keep it a secret.
Do you think she knew that he was lying at the time and just kind of let it go?
I think so. No. You can see it in her eyes. I mean,
well, so going back to watching it again, Matt, I was like, because I wonder if Ellie was like, okay, he's lying. I know he's lying, but he's also like a dangerous guy, and I don't want to. You know,
I don't think she's scared of Joel.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay.
Like, and she's willing to call him out on his BS. Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, you don't think so? Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, there's Joel and Ellie tensions, and I have a note here. Are they trying to make Ellie less likable in this season?
Yeah.
Short answer,
whether it's on purpose or not, I don't know.
Short answer, yes.
I agree with Jay. I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you're supposed to feel the angst and the annoyance of like the teenager and see how she is rebelling, and you understand it.
Jay, well, I thought you were going to defend her.
Not to get too into like the details, but I do feel like we're supposed to empathize with like another character as the the next season especially continues.
Empathize with Abby?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a nice scene where he's talking to the mayor of the town, and they have the joke about the big construction dial.
Who's Tommy's wife.
Right.
Who's also Tommy's wife. Yeah. Baby mama. They have the...
Where are we?
I know, this is a dead end. I'm so confused.
Help! Oh, man.
We were too late for the one at the bridge.
What's his name?
There's a funny joke about it. It's like, well, you just turn up the construction dial and you can construct fast.
Like in Sim City.
Yeah. I thought that was... And then Tommy comes in and he says, did you tell her about the big dial? I like that.
That was a good line. I agree.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but okay.
I was looking at my phone.
Yeah. And you didn't hear it because you were looking at your phone?
Yeah. Or okay. Zach made it up. I don't know.
Really loud phone.
He is a shifty guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they have the refugee problem where they're like, Joel, you were a refugee. He says, yeah, but I'm not. Oh. Doesn't make
modern analogy. That's right.
Still a valid point.
It's relevant. Social commentary.
Oh. Yeah. I did. Yeah. I wrote like something refugee. Like, all right, guys, we get it.
Yeah. Joel, you were a refugee once.
He's like, yeah, but we can't take everybody.
Yeah.
Can't save everyone.
He was like, yeah, there's only so much space in this lifeboat. All right.
Yeah,
that's true.
I guess they probably don't have enough food in the middle of the Montana winter.
Okay.
Winter.
So he goes to see Gail, and Gail has an extremely nice house for considering they have not enough room for everybody.
I don't have a huge house.
You don't have a problem with them, Matt?
Yeah, I guess
you're right.
I guess you're right that they said they don't have enough room for everybody, but like as I said in season one, like if half the if like two-thirds of the population is decimated, they should have enough nice houses for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they're talking about construction.
Probably a small town to begin with, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's doing a nice house.
To go back to the house. Dale has a big house. Joel has a big house. Joel has a house with a garage that he converts into an apartment, and they're complaining about space. But then again, they were there first, and
first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, so she calls out Joel. She's like, Joel, I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Who is this, Ellie?
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good scene. But yeah. But that one was crazy.
Yeah. She's like, I hate you so much. All right. So shall we have our session?
Yeah. Tell me all your secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. Okay. What's next?
Okay. So then we have Ellie and Dina don't follow orders. They're such misbehaving little rascals playing games in everybody's lives.
I don't know if this was in this episode or not, but that was another Quan moment where she's like, I want to go on patrol. And they're like, you're not ready.
Right.
Like, we don't want you to. And she's like, I'm going on it. Like, who do you think you are? Are you in charge of the... You're in charge now?
Well,
she can't do what she wants. She's part of a community. Of course. Individual versus community.
She's got connections.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. All right, Zach, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, they don't follow orders, and they go off. It's like recon only, but then they want to go off anyway, and they find the dead bear that's been eaten by zombies.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder, like, how do these last of the zombies behave again? Don't they just try to infect people with the mushrooms?
Well, this is... the part with the smart zombie?
Almost.
And they're sniping?
Right. Yeah, we skipped that part. But
here's a house, we'll just go into it for no reason.
Yeah, Alana, thanks for reminding me. That was the other part where I was like, why are they trying to make Ellie unlikable? And she's like yelling, I got bit, everybody, I got bit!
Yeah, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha.
It was jokes, so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, she's so cool.
Yeah, she runs it like Wayne Knight in Jurassic Park, like, oh, we got dots in here, we got dots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's who you want to emulate. All right.
That part is pretty funny, though.
That's right. Wayne Knight is funnier.
I've seen Wayne Knight, and you, Missy, are no Wayne Knight.
Yeah. We all wish.
Okay, so they don't follow orders. They go. They're like, let's go into this house full of zombies, even though we don't have to, and we're risking our lives
to do so. Ellie is fine, but Dina is not.
Because they're both badasses. They know how to do it.
I don't think they've been established to be badasses.
Well, she was a main character in season one.
But I mean, they said that they've taken down zombies before. They know how to handle themselves.
Yep. So there's that. Oops, sorry, dude.
I'm sorry, buddy. All right, yep. Okay. So they go in, and what happens when they're in there?
So it's very much similar to the game when they go in, because they are listening, they listen, they hear, and then they throw bottles to distract the zombies. Just like in the game. So I appreciated that. They get separated because Ellie falls through the floor very conveniently.
Yeah, I remember that.
She fights a zombie that's like crawling and hiding, which is like, ooh, this is a good twist. I like. It's like a smart zombie, some kind of smart dog.
Yeah, they need. I think zombie shows benefit from doing something like this, where they change the rules.
Yeah.
When you think you're set, once you think you know your enemy, it changes. I think that's. They don't do enough of it, I think, in season two. But
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, sorry. I'll stop using future knowledge. But yeah, it's a good concept. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So they also have the cliche where because Ellie's immune, she can get bit all the time and suffer no consequences for it, which is frustrating to watch. But whatever.
That
zombie looked like it was like mauling her stomach. She got like this teeny tiny little bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Lift it up.
I thought it was scary though. Did a good job.
If she got mauled by a zombie, she would not be able to hide it. That would have been interesting. And no, she just hides it. Whatever.
I kind of like the way she hides it, though. She just, like, cuts it around the, like, bite marks.
I really did like that, too. Because, like, it was smart, like, to cut out just enough and make it look like something else. Just like she did with her other scars. She understands. See? She's well-experienced. She understands how to cover shit up and cover her ass.
Well, Jay, it's funny you say that, because my next note is she learns nothing from this experience. You know, she's still disobedient, still a maverick, etc., etc. But I did like the scene where they're debriefing the Council of Elders and they talk about the smart zombie.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I appreciate that.
And like adults, they'd never want to listen to the kids.
Yeah.
And that's why they have to act out.
Like in the dance, which is where we're about to go to. So
the dance.
The dance, I remember this was in like the trailers and the YouTube videos about it and stuff. So the L and D, you know, find love. And then this homophobic guy kicks him out. or tries to, and then Joel
he yells at him, and then Joel punches him.
Like teleports into the dance just in time to punch him.
I think he was always there.
He was there.
He was there. We just didn't see him.
He's across from the bar. Remember,
he's a wallflower.
Yeah, he watches. He watches her have that conversation at the bar.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, So and then Ellie is like, Joel, you don't have to protect me, or something like that.
Yeah,
Joel,
mad at him for that because she's mad at him for everything.
Yeah,
yeah. It's very uncomfortable.
And we get an end stinger where we learn the fungus is coming in through the pipe.
Nobody thought about that. I thought about that when I saw the roots. I was like, hey, those look pretty fungusy.
Well, they do. They do recognize it. That's why they're clearing out the pipes. That's why they break it open and initially start clearing out. They just don't realize that there's still a few that are alive. They think they're all dead because they've gone through. They talk about how they've gone through a couple of different pipes and they had to clear them out. So that's part of the
roots, not a fungus.
Right, but they don't. But the fungus is inside, deep inside. You don't necessarily see it. You see a bunch of dead roots.
Okay, so we learned that there's a fungus threat and a smart zombie threat, and then Abby shows up and can see their town, you know, spotlighted.
Yeah,
far away. Yeah,
very, very far away, which was interesting. And that's where the episode ends, which I like that part. I like the threats, some good threats.
Is there gonna be like a moral quandary where like Abby's crew is like, hey, this town's like pretty sweet. We should stay here and not kill Joel so we can, like, live here.
That'd be a good idea. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do you think they're trying to make Abby scared? Because I'm not scared.
Wow, you're brave, dude. Wow.
I think maybe her whole group is scary, I guess, in the sense they have, like, five people specifically just to kill Joel.
But also, like, there's a ton of people in that town.
I think maybe she's scary in that she's, like, psycho. Not that she's, like, a physical threat, but just because, like, who knows what she's going to do. You know?
Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, so that's episode one. I actually thought it was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was very boring.
What?
You thought it was boring?
I thought it was very boring.
Plus, it's like, I don't want to see her on screen. Right. And that's why the homeboys on the internet don't like her.
Yeah. That's a coincidence that you happen to agree with the incels.
Raging misogynist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the characters were also very, like, very cynical. And, like, they're, like, trying to be kind of cool and, like, I'm, like, above it. But they just, I don't know, they just come across as, like, caricature. I don't know, just... Not human, not like real people sometimes.
Yeah, it's like they're characters in a TV show.
The dialogue is not natural. I agree. Especially Ellie's. You know, she's...
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a big talker.
Also, this was written by like... This episode seemed like it was written by someone who had like a teenage fantasy that their best friend would become lesbian for them. And then they did.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did you notice the character Kat was like the other one? Like, and she was on with them?
She looked old.
Her ex.
Yeah.
Ellie's ex, yeah.
But they like they don't really have any like dialogue together.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like the one other lesbian.
It's too awkward.
Something.
This whole bunch of episodes is meant to make you feel awkward and uncomfortable with social interactions.
I think I was just happy to be back in the world. You know, them fighting the zombies, them living on the edge.
It was a little bit. I remember feeling at the time that it was like, okay, you know, Joel and Ellie went through this whole journey in season one where they didn't like each other at first and then they learned to like each other and now they're kind of back to where they started, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
They're back to not getting along. It just felt, I guess that's true. Relationships are always complicated, but it felt like it was going backwards, like rehashing old territory.
Yeah. Good points. Anything else, guys?
Sorry.
I'd say that People magazine confirms that like Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez, Affleck, they all exist in this universe, so they could play themselves in later episodes.
Oh, because they talk about that movie?
Or they're in that? Oh, that too. The
Curtis and Viper. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking like the People magazine that they look at briefly. There's a Jennifer Aniston on the cover.
They have that same like style of joke where they're like, "What's her name? Looks like." Tango and Viper. Did you tell her about Tango and Viper? It's like the same with the Big Dial.
It seems like that's the only movie that exists in this universe. Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Star Wars of that universe where everybody saw it. It
sounds like it's a movie series too, so yeah.
Nice job, guys.
Easy game.
Is it time for Dominion?
Yeah.
And Dominion questions of the day. Nice job,
Jay.
Get him, Jay.
All right. Questions of the day. Question number one comes to us courtesy of Zach.
I was expecting some good ones, dude, since you've had some time to build them up.
They're okay. Well, actually, I do have a good one after this, but I'll do yours first. Would you rather date someone who has slept with your best friend or who hates your best friend? Would you rather date a person who has slept with your best friend or a person who hates your best friend?
So this one is from the Dateable podcast. So hopefully I'll be able to come back with more dating related would you rathers. And they made the point, and I'm inclined to agree, that you're better off going with hating your best friend because you could eventually convince them not to hate your best friend.
That's true. They can't unsleep with them.
Yeah.
Be adults. I mean, who cares who they fuck? I'd rather not have to deal with them hating my friends than me. Imagine me not being able to talk to all of you. Like, that would fucking suck.
Just one person.
Plus, is your best friend. First.
They broke up, but they don't hate each other. How's that possible?
They might not have dated. They might have just banged, right?
Yeah.
I'm still friends with a lot of my exes.
That's your superpower.
All my exes live in Texas.
That's your superpower. No, 100%. I'd rather have them fuck my friends than...
I'm gonna say.
I think I agree with Jay that slept with. Because, like, you like my best friend? I like my best friend, too. I trust you.
Yeah. Because, one, my best friend probably would be like, yo, what the fuck is with this person? And if they can't get along, then there's obviously something... I mean, it's
silver.
Okay. Don't interrupt him, Alana.
Can you just see his monologuing?
Yeah, no, it's if they don't like each other, then there is something not right because the people I like should like the people. I feel like if I've made the right connections, right?
Unfortunately, I feel like reality isn't always like that. In an ideal world, it should be like that, but I don't think reality.
I guess not. I mean, in my world. Because where else am I finding these people without if I'm not with my friends?
We actually can speak from experience. We have we know all of us know somebody who dated someone and then his close friend dated that person and they ended up getting married and it was fine. They're still together. So it can be done.
Yeah. I wouldn't have shared that, but yes.
I didn't get into specifics.
Okay. Yeah. Alana, what do you think?
The hating one.
You hate your best friends.
Oh, they would eventually learn to love them.
What if tolerate. They tell you to cut them off?
Ooh.
If they hate them and they go, no, fuck you. I don't want them around you.
Well, remember, this question is just, would you rather date someone? It's not like, would you be together forever?
Yeah, if they were dating and now she says, or he says, no, you can't hang out with your best friend.
Well, that's the danger. That's the problem is you would have to say, you'd have to stand up to them in that situation and say, no, they're my best friend. I'm not going to like cut off. You'd have to make a choice, I guess. Contest of wills.
It's me or the cat.
That's right. I choose you, baby.
I might go with hate too. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, unless there's like a big gap, if it's like over 5 years, then I'm like, okay, maybe I can date this person now. But if it's like they dated 6 months prior or hooked up, I should say, like, I don't know.
We know how Rob feels about big gaps.
Yeah. I love big gaps and I cannot lie. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I have dated people that fucked my friends. It's whatever. So it's whatever. I mean, yeah, whatever.
You can live with it.
Eskimo brothers. It's all good. We high five. We're happy.
All right, next question.
Okay, question number two. This is everybody went in, right? Yeah. Okay, so this is the best one that I came up with during the hiatus. So I'm trying to figure out how I could phrase it that will make sense to you guys. So if you, like, as you are right now, if you saw yourself as a D&D character, what would be your best stat and what would be your dump stat? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All fives. Now, let me see.
Fives?
Isn't fives like you can like barely move?
Instead of 20, that's right. Okay, never mind.
10 is average, Rob.
Right.
And I don't need numbers. I just want to know what you think your best one is and what do you think your dump one is.
Well, currently, what's up, Shane?
No, currently I will say charisma is my top and my dump is my constitution.
Even though you go running? Don't you run? That helps your constitution.
My
right?
immune system is all fucked up.
Yeah.
That is a problem with the D&D stats.
But I mean, no, if anything, that'd probably be more athletics, more strength than anything. So that would be... So constitution is more of your ability to endure poisons and stress and all that stuff. How much you can endure.
Right. Also how tough you are, right? Like in a fight, like if I punch you, do you go down immediately or do you?
No, not really. It's a little bit of that, but not a whole ton of it. Yeah, it's your, it's how much you can, how much punishment you can endure, basically.
Okay, I think I'm going to go next. I'd like to say wisdom is my top, because I like to think I've learned a thing or two by now. You know, I think people might agree or not. And my domestat, I think, is actually dexterity, because I'm kind of clumsy and I drop things. What's up with people who drop things?
You became what you mocked, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. I think for me, I was probably going to go wisdom as well, because we're identical. Mm-hmm. And for my dump, it's probably, I'm debating between dexterity and strength, but my dexterity has actually gotten better since we've been playing all the sports with the kiddos. So I think I might go with strength, because I'm not very strong.
Your kids.
But comparatively, I think compared to everything else, I think it's still the weakest. Also, they don't need me to pick them up that much anymore.
Do it for the last time.
No, the last time hasn't come yet, but for the big one, maybe. Rob, Alana?
Yeah, I mean, I think my strength might be just constitution, just because, yeah, I guess I do run, and also, I don't know, I just be like stubborn and just like keep getting punched in the face until something happens.
Okay.
And also, maybe dexterity, I'm a bit clumsy. And those two were in conflict yesterday because I was running in the rain, which is foolish.
Lucky to be alive.
It's the best. Did you slip or did you?
No, I didn't slip. Rain. It was like a run club, and surprisingly, I didn't see anybody slip. I was like, okay.
I mean, it's rain. It's hard to slip in the rain.
What? Zach can do it.
Yep. With my low, low dexterity.
Okay, Ron, what's your dump one?
It was dexterity. Yeah, I feel like, and constitution, I guess, is my...
Is that everybody, or... I think we're waiting on...
We need to stay
quiet. None of you were, you know, brave enough to say it, but I don't think these other ones apply. Okay. I mean, maybe dexterity, because I can be kind of flexible, but I'm really bad at sports. Probably the dump one is probably strength.
Lifting Bobby doesn't
right
help.
Now, I'm not supposed to lift any heavy objects.
Oh my God. Are we going to be hearing about this for the next 6 months?
I don't know. Do you want to?
Find a way to work every conversation.
Well, like, you're one to talk.
Ooh, you guys want to hear about? You guys want to hear about my latest autograph?
That's right. I got Biggs.
You already had Biggs.
I I'm joking.
Matt, what's your favorite autograph that you got? That you have?
Wow, thank you for asking. It's probably Mark Hamill. Because he's rare, and I needed to like do research to get him.
Wasn't your my favorite things category?
Yeah, that was. And what did I say?
Probably Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I think I said Mark Hamill. Okay, are we ready to move on?
Sure.
All right, we'll do a hot seat question for the third one. Stand by. Oh, all right, here we go. What is the most dangerous animal you could beat in a fight to the death?
Most dangerous animal I could beat.
Yeah.
One on one to the death.
Another human.
And they're okay, that's not the most dangerous, you know. There are lots of animals more dangerous than that.
What are you talking about? Humans are the most dangerous animals on the planet. We're killing the planet and all the animals.
Yeah, collectively, like as a group.
Yeah, who's at the top of the food chain?
I think I could probably take a wolf. I bet I could beat a wolf.
Mr. Strength is my dump stat.
Are you talking with a weapon?
No.
Yeah, what are the conditions? Barehanded?
Yeah. I feel like
I was going to say like a fucking squirrel.
I think you can take more than something bigger than a squirrel, Jay. What about like a Canadian goose?
Yo, that thing would flap its wings and beat the living crap out of me.
Oh, come on, Jay, you can take him.
For your life, Jay, it's you or the bird. Only one of you walks away. It's like Thunderdome.
Animals are vicious.
Well, yeah, but it's you or them.
Yeah, I guess.
Bichon Frise?
One-on-one, a wolf would be hard, maybe. It depends on the environment I'm in.
So I'll see them.
I feel like the wolf probably could get you. Just because of their speed and endurance and their flexibility. It'd be hard to pin down. Yeah, not... There's... Fuck. I don't even know.
All right. You can pass for now.
What?
Zach, what did you say?
What? I said those were human.
Oh, man, that's not an answer.
Okay, fine. Bobcat.
Maybe really small snake, I could just step on it.
Well, then bites
you. Yeah, you could.
I could wear, like, boots, and that wouldn't happen.
Good job, Alana.
But is that too easy?
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, you could do, come on, aim a little higher.
No.
A small snake.
I think I could outbox a kangaroo. I think I've, you know, I had
kangaroo's pretty dangerous.
Wait, Andrew, what was the question? What's the biggest animal you think you could find?
The most dangerous animal.
Oh, the most dangerous animal. Okay.
So, like, Alana could not handle anything more dangerous than a small snake is what she said.
Big noses. I don't know. I think they got a weak chin.
Yeah. Okay, so you're sticking with kangaroo, Rob? Good for you.
Yeah, I'm only half confident about it.
Kangaroos can be dangerous if you hit one with your car. It's like a deer.
I'm just impressed you're willing to challenge yourself, like me.
He's not literally going to do it. You can say whatever you want. How about grizzly bear?
Yeah, but then we might laugh at you.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys all laughed at me when you thought I could fight a wolf.
A wolf.
Yeah. You guys don't know. You guys have no idea.
He did it. He salvaged the gold.
Dang.
I got nothing going.
Oh, no. Sorry, Jay.
Sorry. I think that's everybody.
I was too busy thinking about animals I could beat up.
With the snake.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us every week at twitch.tv/MCSlanty at 8 p.m. on Tuesday and group up with us next time.
Unless we're on hiatus.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay, listen while they play.